out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 4th of June 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I do apologise for the sound quality today. It's absolutely chipping it down outside, monsoon season here in Wales. But I got up this morning and really quite surprised by what I saw on the news coming from Canada. Accusing the Canadians of genocide. Justin Trudeau was giving a speech and there was some woman shouting in the audience, call it genocide, call it what it is. And apparently there's a big controversy here that he's refused to call something a genocide. So I've been looking into this and I really can't find a lot of details about it. I've got a report here from the Telegraph that I'll get into in a minute, but it seems to me that it's like when you hear from the Red Indians in America and they're sort of claiming that they were genocided or they were abused or whatever. And it was basically a fair fight. And the Indians were robbing and attacking the white folks. They were robbing and attacking each other. And you had some Indian tribes that asked the white folks for protection and joined in the fights against these more vicious tribes. And eventually you had these Indians that were just stealing things from the whites, and they would kidnap the white women and they would scalp them. They would torture them. They would do these horrific things to them. So the white settlers went to war against them and they defeated them and they won. And they built America. They built the whole civilization that's there from nothing. The people that were there beforehand, they were just living in tents, basically. They'd been living in tents for thousands of years. You had in South America, you had some of these Aztecs and these Incas, and they were involved in human sacrifice. It's debatable whether they were the ones that actually built those stone cities. There's a lot of evidence to show that it was white people that built those stone cities, and they fell to miscegenation, like all the old white empires fell to miscegenation. But because they were doing these horrific human sacrifices and cannibalism, when the conquistadors fought against these Indian tribes, the other Indian tribes fought alongside them because they were the ones that were being taken for these human sacrifices. They're barbarous people, absolutely barbarous people that were defeated fair and square by the whites. And now it's not politically correct to say that. And it's not like once the whites had defeated them, they treated them badly. They gave them their own reservations. They thought that they were a formidable foe that they had fought against. They said it was that the Indians were a courageous foe, so courageous that they named a lot of their weapons after these Indian tribes: Tomahawk missiles, Chinook helicopters. It's all out of respect for the warriors that they fought against. And you look at the Indians now, and a lot of them are drunkards. They're involved in gambling, but at least they're still alive. At least they still have their own reservations. And I guess Canada was the same. White settlers went there. Canada was just a wilderness. The white settlers went there. They built Canada. They built this modern first world civilization that they have there. They tried to help the Indians there that are called the First Nations. tried to educate them, tried to get them into proper housing, tried to do what was best for them. It's the same story in Australia. In Australia, you had the same. You had these Aborigines that were there, and the white folks did their best for them. Even adopted some of them into white families to see if that would give them the best chance possible. And of course, it didn't. And of course, in Australia, they're complaining about their treatment as well. When they were allowed to live, I mean, when you go to war when you have a battle against your enemy in the past, if you won that battle, the enemy then owed you their life, because by rights you should kill them. And if you don't kill the enemy and you give the enemy their lives, then for the rest of their lives, the enemy is your slave. It's up to you what you do with them. This is why noble whites would fall upon their sword at the end of a battle, because they wouldn't want to stand the indignity of being the slave of anyone. And we didn't kill these Indian tribes, we gave them reservations. Absolutely unheard of in history to do anything like that, to treat the enemy with such respect and to actually do things for them instead of enslaving them. And yet now we get all these complaints about mistreatment, and somehow it was wrong for whites to do that. And it's quite clear that if it hadn't been whites that did that, then the Indian tribes themselves were fighting against one another for territory. And the nature of being human is that we continually expand, we produce offspring. It's only recently, in the last 100 years, that we've decided to go against our programming and start having sex for pleasure instead of to produce children. And we're not producing so much children. But just logic tells you 500 years ago that you are going to need more territory for your descendants. That's what America was conquered for. It was conquered by the white settlers to provide land and territory for their descendants, for the expansion of the white race, particularly Northern Europeans in America. And this is just natural. If you are thinking ahead, then you're going to be thinking, well, we're going to need more space. England's getting a little bit crowded now. There isn't enough room for everyone. We've got lots of vagrants on the streets, people that aren't properly employed. They haven't really got much lives. Makes sense to deport them off to America and give them a chance over there. And that was the thinking that the people had in Britain. And of course, there's complaints about that as well, because it was white slavery. I mean, they would just pick up people off the street, Shanghai them, stick them on the boats, send them off to America, and they would be in indentured servitude for 8 years. And of course, if they tried to escape, then they would get another 8 years of indentured servitude put onto them, which of course meant that these white slaves would be badly treated near the end of their servitude, in order to try and make them run away so that they could be enslaved for another 8 years. And you can compare that to the black slaves, who just were slaves, and they'd actually been bought for a lot of money. They actually represented a substantial investment of money. So the black slaves are far less likely to be mistreated than the white slaves, who people just got for free, and they could keep them for longer if they mistreated them and they tried to run away. Nobody's saying that white folks deserve some kind of repatriation for being sent off to America. They did the same in Australia. People would be sent off to Australia for stealing a sheep through starvation. And instead of being executed, they would be deported to the colonies. And of course, this is an amazing credit to the white race that the lowest members of society, the criminals of England, could be sent abroad to a tropical country and within 200 years build a fantastic first world civilization that was the envy of the rest of the world. And you think, and that was made with the lower classes of the white race. I mean, we all have this potential within us to do amazing things, incredible things, if we have the means to do so around us, and Australia just proves that. So it's entirely natural what these settlers did, what these colonizers did when they went to America, when they went to Australia. And when they went to India, different matter. I mean, that was full of people. So they tried to bring modern infrastructure there, tried to help them out with the view of leaving them being able to rule themselves. And the white man was welcomed into India because he brought law and order with him. Again, he prevented these tribes from massacring one another. Yeah, so it was slightly different in India, where there were so many people, and there were wars, as I say, in America. I'm not sure if there were wars in Australia and New Zealand. There were probably battles, I should imagine, with these Aborigines. But the white man is so generous and kind and charitable anyway that he's always tried to help these Aborigine people out, always tried to raise them up from the Stone Age that they were basically living in. And we get no thanks for doing that. No thanks for doing that whatsoever, particularly in Canada. And the interesting thing about this Canada allegation is that they're talking of not just talking about this going on when Canada was settled, but they're talking about it going on over the last 30 years. I mean, this is just incredible. And I can't find any actual details of how this has been going on in the last 30 years. I mean, they're claiming all these women have been murdered, and apparently that's the Canadian state's fault. It's just incredible. I mean, what are they saying? Are they saying it's like Black Lives Matter? The police have been shooting these Canadian women? I don't think so. I don't think that's what they're saying. These First Nation women, why would the police be shooting Indian women in the last 30 years? That doesn't make sense. I think we'll find out what it is these accusations are about as we go through this article here. Canada was complicit in a genocide against thousands of Indigenous women and girls over the last 30 years, a government inquiry has claimed. Now, it says here it's a government inquiry, but I believe that it's a supposedly independent inquiry. The National Inquiry into Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women and Girls was established 2.5 years ago to investigate the murders and disappearances of thousands of Indigenous women over the past 3 decades. Now, bear in mind that these First World Nations, First Nations rather, they're Third World peoples, but they live in their own reservations. I mean, if they're getting murdered, that's because they're murdering one another. If they're disappearing, it's because they're disappearing one another. It's not up to the Canadian state. And when you look at this independent or government inquiry, as they're saying it is here, it was made up of Amnesty International and some other left-wing NGO. So they're hardly going to be impartial. And you can tell just from the fact that it's just looking into murdered and missing women and girls that this is some kind of biased, progressive, leftist outfit, because otherwise they would be looking at murdered and missing Indigenous people. They'd be including men and boys in this. My suspicion is that it's the Indigenous men and boys that are probably responsible for the Indigenous women and girls disappearing and being murdered. In a summary report, it concluded that through state actions and inactions rooted in colonialism and colonial ideologies, Indigenous women and girls have faced a disproportionately high level of violence. I bear in mind, this is over the last 30 years. So it can't have actually come from the state. It can't have been state actors. It can have only been Indigenous men and boys. And if what they're alleging here is that the police haven't investigated these allegations properly, that would have been out of political correctness. That would have been because they wanted to be culturally sensitive, and they would be worried that they would be accused of racism if they said, well, these Indians have got a problem with murdering and raping one another. So this is why they're trying to blame the state for it. It's like the Eskimos. I did a podcast with Nat Danelaw last year or the year before, and he was talking about the Eskimos, and something like 60% of them have been abused as children. A terrible rate of abuse that goes on among the Eskimos. And these Indians in Canada, I mean, they're related to the Eskimos. I mean, this violence that they're talking about, it's internal violence between them. And if white people dare to point it out, they're being politically correct. And if they don't do anything about it, then they get accused of genocide, as this report is alleging. As many as 4,000 indigenous women have been murdered over the past few decades, but the report suggests the real figure may never be known. Well, I wonder how many thousands of indigenous white people have been murdered by non-whites in their own countries over the past few decades. I wonder how many thousand indigenous white Americans have been killed over the past few decades by these non-white races that the country was not built for. The country was built for the posterity of the white settlers. Now that is a genocide. White people are being genocided. They are being replaced. There are deliberate programs in place to encourage whites not to breed. And there is all this importation of these non-whites to replace us, which the UN is quite open about. It calls it replacement migration. And that's the definition of a genocide. Because you've got a whole people that are being replaced. And what they're claiming here is this is a genocide because there are 4,000 indigenous women that have been murdered, but who have they been murdered by? The allegation isn't that it's been the Canadian police that have been murdering them. And if they'd been killed by the police, then they would have been killed whilst committing a crime or whilst resisting arrest, which is what happens with the blacks in America. But it's not even that. It linked the deaths to endemic poverty, racism, sexism, and addiction, and to failed attempts by early colonizers to force indigenous people to integrate. So somehow, endemic poverty, sexism and racism has caused 4,000 indigenous women to be murdered by their own people. And they're still going to blame white people for this. White colonizers trying to force indigenous people to integrate. Why on earth would white people want to force indigenous people to integrate? And the only reason why the Canadians wanted to do this is because they wanted what was best for the Indians. They didn't want them to be murdering one another. They wanted them to be able to learn to read and write. They wanted them to learn to be productive members of the community, learn the reasons why we all obey the law. I mean, you've got the best possible motives here from these Canadians. They weren't just, you know, they weren't bloodthirsty monsters that just wanted to wipe out all the Indians, because they didn't do that when they had the chance, did they? They didn't do that when they had the chance. They did what they could for these indigenous people, and this is how they are repaid. The 1,200-page report was unveiled on Monday at a ceremony at the Canadian Museum of History, attended by Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, and victims' families. Entitled Reclaiming Power and Place, the report makes more than 230 recommendations for the government, including giving Indigenous languages official status on par with English and French. Now, how is that going to prevent women from being murdered, giving an Indigenous language official status? Well, the only reason why whites would be even contemplating that is because they have been overly charitable and invited these people in to white society. I mean, there they are in one sentence of this. They are complaining that about failed attempts by early colonizers to force indigenous people to integrate. And then in the next sentence, the suggestion that they are making to solve or to prevent all these murders is forced integration. Forced integration by putting their language on a par with English and French. I mean, either they want to integrate or they don't. They just want to get what they can out of white people and take advantage of the white man's guilt. Guilt that's been induced by the media. Mr. Trudeau made Canada's reconciliation for its colonial past a major part of his 2015 election campaign, and he has apologized for some of the country's historical wrongs since taking office. You know, the way to reconcile a country like America or Australia for its colonial past is not to shame today's Americans, but to tell the truth and talk about the great heroes of the colonial past and how they laid down their lives to protect the white settler communities, and how these white settler communities built this fantastic civilization for their posterity, gave their whole lives up in order to produce something for the next generation. That's how you reconcile to a colonial past of killing the savages. You don't reconcile to it by making them out to be totally innocent and the white man out to be really evil. But of course, they're not talking about a reconciliation for white folks here, are they? They're just talking about bending over backwards for the savages, making up a fake history so that the savages can not feel ashamed of their weakness and not being able to fight back and losing a fair battle, basically. I mean, it's a fair battle. You got two types of human being there. One type of human being worked together, built a civilization, and the other type of human being lived in caves. In the case of Africa, lived in cow dung huts, and in the case of America, lived under animal skin for a building. Last month, Mr. Trudeau posthumously exonerated a Cree chief unjustly imprisoned for treason more than 130 years ago. Well, how can they say that he was unjustly imprisoned for treason? I mean, has new evidence come forward? I mean, he would have been tried by a court, and he was found guilty of treason. I mean, what are they saying here? Are they saying that he was made guilty of treason when he shouldn't have been because his loyalties should have been to his Indian buddies? But if he was on the white man's reservation or at the white man's area and making use of the white man's technology, and he'd been invited in and they had tried to integrate him, then to fight against the white man and to sell the white man out to these other Indian tribes that are attacking them, then yes, that can be seen as treason. And what is the point in posthumously exonerating somebody? It's not going to be of any benefit to them. All that was done for is to try and make white people today feel bad. Promising a national action plan to address the violence yesterday, Mr. Trudeau said, "To the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls of Canada, to their families and to survivors, we have failed you, but we will fail you no longer." How is it going to address the violence to change the language of the country to an Indigenous language? How is that going to address violence? The way to address this violence is to tell the Indians to stop killing and raping one another. Stop sniffing petrol. He added, "To the survivors and families here today, and to those watching or listening at home, I want you to know that this report is not the end." Now, he's really sort of bending over backwards to please the Indians here, and yet they're shouting out, "Call it genocide, call it what it is." I mean, they're still not happy with him, even though Justin Trudeau is possibly the biggest cuck there is on the world stage. The savages there are still not happy with him. "The inquiry acknowledged that there are disagreements over what constitutes genocide, saying it is still preparing a supplementary report to summarise its finding according to the legal definition of genocide." Well, 4,000 people over 300 years that have actually been killed by their own people isn't really a genocide, is it? I mean, if you're going to say it's a genocide, you can blame the Indians for it, for doing it to themselves. "Genocide is the sum of the social practices, assumptions, and actions detailed within this report," it said. "The National Inquiry's findings support characterizing these acts, including violence against Indigenous women, girls, and 2SLGBTQQIA people as genocide." Yes, you did hear right there. Apparently 2SLGBTQQIA is the new abbreviation for different sexualities and gender identities. I mean, what are they saying here? Are they saying that these Indians, they're pro-homosexuality, are they? They're pro-perversity? I doubt they're pro-homosexuality. They might be involved in abusing their children, but I doubt very much whether they're pro-homosexuality, because that goes completely against nature. At another point, the report stated, the fact that First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples are still here and that the population is growing should not discount the charge of genocide. So they say there that it's Inuit peoples, and that is the same peoples as the ones that live in Greenland, the ones with 60% of them have all been abused as children, raped by their own parents. That's what you're talking about here. Ethnic conflict within the ethnicity, and they're just blaming Canadians for it. The Assembly of First Nations said the final report reaffirms what First Nations and families have been saying for many years. We need immediate, sustained and coordinated action to address the long-standing and systemic causes of violence against Indigenous women and girls and those at risk. Again, it's like these blacks that are in Chicago that are demanding, somebody do something, please, somebody stop us from shooting one another. Stop us from killing each other. I mean, they go out there marching with their big signs, demanding that somebody do something about this. And if they're not going to do anything about it themselves, it's pointless. If the blacks can't stop killing one another, why do they think whites are going to be able to do it? And instead of actually accepting the blame for themselves, they blame the white folks for it. Blame the police for trying to keep law and order and, you know, shooting people that resist arrest. I mean, if there's a chance that the person you are going to arrest is armed and he is resisting arrest, then you're going to get shot. I mean, it's the blacks' own fault for resisting arrest when they get shot. And that's not what they're saying here. They're not even saying that it's the police that have shot at Indigenous people trying to resist arrest. I mean, women and girls, are they likely to be arrested by the police? I don't think so. They're the least likely part of the population to be involved in crime. In a statement, the National Chief, Perry Bellegarde, said the treatment of the Indigenous population was consistent with the definition of genocide based on the many assaults on First Nations people and culture. Mr. Bellegarde cited the implementation of residential schools, forced sterilization, and Canada's child welfare systems, mass apprehensions of Indigenous children, as evidence for the claim. So that's all their evidence for blaming Canada for 4,000 murdered women and girls, is that Canada set up schools for these Indigenous peoples. They sterilized the Indigenous peoples so that they didn't produce more, that they couldn't look after themselves. And they had a child welfare system for them that tried to do its best for them. Mass apprehensions of Indigenous children, it says here. Well, how has that killed women and girls? And if these Indigenous children have been apprehended, then they must have been doing something wrong. And the motive behind this, as I say, was to help them to integrate. There were also a host of calls to address the social problems behind some of the risks Indigenous women face, including better access to housing and food, funding for shelters for women who are homeless, and transit options for women in remote and rural communities. So their solution to these murdered women and girls means give them new houses. I don't know what, having bad housing, why that should be a cause of murder, or why the Canadian state should be responsible for it. And can't the Indians provide their own houses? If they're saying that they are a people here, they are their own people, then they should be able to provide their own housing. They shouldn't be asking Justin Trudeau to provide it for them. Better access to food. So they want free food as well. They want separate shelters for women to go to if they are homeless. I mean, does Canada not already have homeless shelters? Why do these Indigenous people have to have their own shelters? I thought multiculturalism was supposed to be such a great big strength. We're all supposed to be getting on well together. And the final option here, transit options for women in remote and rural communities. What are they saying? That Justin Trudeau's got to provide cars for them? so that they can travel about in a car. That way they are less at risk of being attacked. And once again, the risk of being attacked is from within their own community. I mean, this is a huge scam, and I do hope that the rest of the world sees this for what this is, and that this is just another attempt to place guilt onto the white man for basically doing as best as he could by these people. And as I said, we were quite within our rights just to wipe them out entirely. And a lot of people would say that it's a great shame that we didn't, because look at all these problems that have come about because of it. I'm a great believer in just leaving people alone. Leaving them alone. That's what they should have done. They should have said, right, here's a wall. You lot over there can stay over there, and you can continue evolving at the rate that you are evolving, your culture, that is. And we'll stay over here, and we'll build our cities over here. And if you cross over that wall, you'll be shot. And that's the way to deal with it. Just leave these peoples to develop at their own pace and leave us to get on with developing at our own pace. I know it's a simple solution, but it's quite clearly the right one. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager, and I believe she's going to be talking about Donald Trump's visit to Britain. So check out for that, and I'll see you tomorrow. God bless, and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio.